Matthew 14, not as it says on here, Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33.
Yeah, thank you.
Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all who were ill to him and begged him to let those who were ill just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed.
Thank you. Thank you. Let me pray. Father God, open our hearts and our minds to your word this morning. May you speak to us wherever we are in our journey. And may I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for the reading. We are indeed on a journey. If we go by what I've said earlier, we're running a race on that journey. And I don't like running a race. I think of it like a marathon. Okay, a marathon for me is walking a race, not running. And it makes it long, isn't it? And we know on our journey that there's an ultimate end, isn't there? That eternal life, where in Revelation it says, your tears, your pain, everything be wiped away. And there's a newness of life in the presence of God the Father, in the family. We know that on our Christian journey. We know. But the rest, we don't know. We have stormy moments, like those disciples, don't we? Some days it's calm. Some days it's windy. Some days it can be a hurricane. No reference to the wife at all. Well, the disciples and Jesus, just prior to this, had fed 5,000 people. Okay, this is their next journey after. They fed 5,000 people. And at the end of that miraculous thing that Jesus did with a few fish and some bread, from a child, fed all these people. They didn't see the connection of Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life," at that point. It was a physical need. There's nothing spiritual that they saw in that Jesus is giving the bread of life. In fact, all the miracles Jesus did up to this point, no one saw him as anything that he's come to be. They just see him as a pretty good man, a clever man. And at the end of feeding the 5,000, okay, in John's gospel, said the crowds were so excited by what he had done at that point, they want to make him a king. They want to take him and make him a king, which in Jesus' eyes is not the king he's come to be, is it? A king to rule over people with power, but with humility. So he could see this. And it's a dangerous situation that's arising. Palestine is in an excited state. There could easily be a revolution. Things could get bad. So Jesus said to his disciples, go in this boat. There's a sense of urgency, isn't there? He said, immediately after, go in the boat, sail across. I'll come to you. And this they did on the instruction of Jesus. They climbed into that rowing boat and off they went across the Sea of Galilee. Now this Sea of Galilee is renowned for storms. Okay? At one end, it's 13 miles long, about 8 miles wide, 13 miles long. So that's further than where I've come from at Werrington today. So it's further than that. It's 8 miles wide. Okay? In fact, it's about 9 miles to where I come from. So it's as wide as that. And at one end are the mountains, and the wind can whistle through and suddenly stir up the waters, bringing a rough sea and wind. There's a previous story, isn't there, where Jesus calms a storm. But in this one, there's a storm, not as violent as the other, but sufficient to cause the disciples a disruption and working hard to row against the storm, against the wind. So there they are. Jesus has sent them out. And then Jesus just doesn't join them, does he? He doesn't say, right, I'm going to my friends. He went to pray. He does a few times, doesn't he? Up into the hills, up to the mountains, to pray to God. To pray to God. There for some considerable time. Because it's now between 3 and 6 in the morning. And the disciples are still rowing. Because in those times, there was four, what they call four watches, four time segments of night. Okay? So there was like 6 at night till 9. 9 till midnight, midnight till 3, 3 till 6. And they were in the fourth watch. So really, really late night, early morning. And in feeding the 5,000, we see that we're on grass. So it's probably a spring time, maybe the festival time, and a full moon at that time with the festivals. So the full moon is shining on the water, and Jesus looks out. They're probably about 3 miles, so he's got good eyesight, hasn't he? He can see out. He can see that they're in trouble. And off he goes. Walks on the water all the way to them. And Peter, bless him. I love Peter. Works from the heart and instinct. Sees him. They were all kind of scared at first, as I guess we might be, wouldn't we? If we see somebody walking on the water, coming towards us in a boat. But once we know it's Jesus, there's a connection. Peter wants to get out to him. And Jesus says, come. And he walks on the water. Until the storm kind of takes his attention. He's distracted by the storm. Takes his eye off Jesus and begins to sink. But Jesus reaches out and saves him. They get in the boat and the calmness ascends on them. A great, great visual story. But it goes much deeper than that faith and reaching out and accepting Jesus. Because Matthew is writing mainly to a Jewish audience. Okay, so Matthew's gospel is a bit of an evangelism to the Jews. It's also, in this one, encouraging and comforting. But he's making a real connection with Jesus and God. Okay, because in the Old Testament, there are many references to water and God. And the Jews see like water and God as something together. There's a deep significance. Okay, Jesus is showing, or Matthew is showing, Jesus' godly intent. So in Job 9, it says, he alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waters of the sea. That's in Job, God. in the Psalm, Psalm 77, your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. Isaiah, this is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. There's lots of connection. And of course, the Jews would know this. And reading this story, they are now seeing somebody walking on water. What is, who is this person? It's not just a human being. This is something different. And then Jesus says, doesn't he? Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Great three words, well, three sections there. Be courage. You know, take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. But the it is I in Greek, now I'm no good at Greek at all, but it's something like eo emai. If there's any Greek scholars, you can correct me, but that meaning in Greek is I am. And we know this, the sayings of Jesus, don't we? He says, I am. But God is always also known as I am. And in Exodus, in chapter 3, it says this, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has spoken. God is saying he is I am. So in those words, walking on water, he's going to get the attention of the Jews listening. But for us today, what does it mean to us today? Because we know those things. We've got the insight of God's word, the Bible, haven't we? We know about salvation. We know of Jesus' teaching. We know of his life, his death, his resurrection. We know it. At this point, they don't. But for us today, we look at that passage and we see those disciples. They are obedient. They do as Jesus said. He commanded them. And he left them. And they ended up in trouble. They responded to what Jesus wanted, but they ended up in a storm. He wasn't there to stop the storm. He wasn't there to take the fear away. He wasn't there to take the anxiety away. And do we experience that sometimes today? We're here, we're worshiping, we want to serve the Lord, but sometimes do we feel like, we know Jesus is, you know, this is where it's difficult. It's a bit stormy. We might even say, where are you, Lord, in this? It kind of feels right, but where are you? It can be tiring, can't it? It can be tiring. We don't see Jesus there sometimes. But I believe in our story today, in our passage, it gives us three P's. P's, letter P's. Places where that storm is taking us. So in our storms, in our personal storms where we feel vulnerable and lonely, rejected, in the storm around us, in the storm that may be within the church, within the community, there are those times. That passage says we must come to prayer. We must come to prayer. That's one of the P's. Now, Jesus is the person that prayed this time. Disciples didn't pray, did they? They were shocked. But Jesus went into the hills and prayed. Of course, he's in a stormy moment. Herod is saying things, unfavorable things about Jesus. Herod has just had John the Baptist's head cut off. Jesus is doing miracles. People are following him. They're not understanding who he really is. The crowds are impinging. They want to make him a king. What a storm. What does he do? Pray. He prays. And when we pray, we get that sense of peace. That's the second P. As Jesus stepped into the boat, there was a calmness. There was a sense of peace. The wind calmed down. And we should have a sense of praise and thanks. During difficult times, we can engage with Jesus deeper. And that's what happened with these disciples. Up until now, the disciples were observers. They observed, up to this point, Jesus healed a man with leprosy, healed Peter's mother-in-law and others, healed a paralytic man. He brought a ruler's daughter back to life, healed a bleeding woman, healed the blind and the mute. He fed 5,000 or more. Disciples are observing, but they're not engaging. Only when they were in the storm, only in the storm, did they say, "Truly you are the Son of God." So in our stormy moments, we still need to say thank you. In those moments, we will engage and see God and see Jesus. I guess there's another P, patience. There's four P's, not three. We need to be patient with that, don't we? So we run that race with endurance. We'll walk that race with endurance. And it says about chucking off sin. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." And in that race, in that walk, in those stormy moments, we will encounter, I believe, Jesus in a way that will bring that peace. So wherever you are with your walk with life, wherever you are with the church moving forward, if it feels stormy, we pray, we seek that peace, and we praise and thank. Because when we move on and look back, we will see where Jesus has worked. I'm not doing a time check. Don't know how long I've rabbited on for. But it's important. It's only in that storm did those disciples recognize Jesus for who he was. And I was going to share a quick testimony. I said at the beginning that my spiritual birth was Newcastle Baptist Church 22-ish, 3 years ago at the church there. I had a full immersion, full baptism immersion, and found God. Again, not for the first time. Again, I was 40 when I was baptized. And I really wanted to know more about God. I joined house groups, and I was nurtured by people I see here today, nurtured me in my young Christian walk. And it's great to see. I don't know what's in your water, but they look as young as they did 20-plus years ago. I don't know. Wearing some water can't be good, can it? Yeah, I'm only 22. And I see the people who nurtured me, Andy there and Spencer's, and it was great. I was loving it. I was embracing it. Did the Alpha course. But I was not dragged to church, but I made that decision to go for the first time in my life to go church for myself. I've been to see the children in the Anglican church, but it didn't do anything for me. Sounds awful, doesn't it, being a minister of the Anglican church? God will forgive. And so there was nothing there that excited me. So when it came to going to the Baptist church, I thought, pews, dampness, smelly, a sermon I don't really understand. That was my childhood memory, and that stuck with me. But as I walked into the building, there was a warmth. There was a welcome. There was a screen. There was music band. There was a sermon that spoke to me as if I was the only person there. God caught me at that moment. It was amazing. After 40 years without it, I thought, if I'd have had this sooner. But that's how it is. And I did some youth work for 6 weeks, and I'm still doing it. Not at the Baptist church, but I'll do the youth work. Carried on doing the youth work. And after a couple of years, certainly my wife was saying, we need to move church. We need to serve where we are planted, in Warrington, at the Anglican church. I said, no, I am happy. I'm happy. I have music, screen, warmth, comfy seats, carpet. You know, I know there's more than that in praising God. But in my early days, I thought, no, I can't. But for 18 months, I fought it. I think sometimes if I'd have been like Peter, just jumped out, I don't know. But I fought it. But I had the faith in prayer and had peace as we journeyed. Okay? Certainly had patience. Well, my wife did. But after 18 months of prayer and searching, it was clear that we did have to serve where we were planted in Warrington and Wetley Rocks. So we made the decision. Well, before then, I put the house up for sale. It gets worse. I thought, well, if God wants us to serve where we're planted, I'll sell the house and move to Newcastle. Whoa. I got 2 years left on the mortgage. You know, and I've just done alterations. The house has got, it sounds grand, it's a semi, but it's got 5 bedrooms, all a mess, and still are a mess. And I'd sell that for a smaller house with a 25-year mortgage with an asbestos garage and not a bill. I think, oh, dear Lord. I think I had a Peter moment. I just said, yes, we'll do it. And people came. And people who fostered children came to our house. And at the back of our house is a play park and then fields. And then you can see almost the roaches. And these people will say, oh, we could take the wall out. We can put a gate in, take these conifers down. We can get access to the park. They were making all these plans. And I'm telling them about the house. And I thought, what a lovely house this sounds. You think, I really like this house. And I didn't quite drop on my knees, but I prayed to God. I said, look, Lord, if we sell the house, we will move in obedience. If we don't, we'll move church in obedience. P.S., I'd rather move church. No one came back. No one, this person who made all these plans, no offer, nothing. Just went flat. And that journey, and that patience said to me, we move church. So we went to the Anglican church, not screaming and kicking, just kicking. And, as they say, I went on, did more Alpha courses. But my baptism in my Christian journey, what I took from here, I have taken with me on my journey. So I thank you for those who, you know what I'm talking about. But there were stormy moments. But prayer, a sense of peace as we pray, praising God for where we are and what we've got, acknowledging Jesus will be in that stormy moment to give us strength and encouragement to move on, and the patience to wait and seek. So let me pray. Father God, we thank you.